Heck yeah.
Have to rack up.
I already plugged my third Sunday of the month Break My Game playtesting session. I still have some copies left over of my game, Rex Ragnat, a trick-taking game about the Polish Constitution of 1791. If you're interested in that, you can email me at demonicdesigns@gmail.com using the most advanced storefront of emailing me and then wiring me money. That's demonic, D-A-M-O-N-I-C, designs, D-E-S-I-G-N-S@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you again.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening to Winner's Bias. If you would like to comment on the show, have any questions, or just suggest discussion topics, you can email us at winnersbias@kbu.org, and you can find us on Instagram at winnersbias. I'm Nate.
And I'm James. We want to remind you that KBU is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. Remember to help KBU reach our $45,000 goal, KBU Out Loud Full Membership Drive goal, by showing your support today at kbu.fm/give, by texting KBOO to 44321. Every donation is appreciated. And remember, it's not about the games you play, but how you try your hardest not to taste those delicious game pieces. Have a good one.
We gotta keep our minds on the game.
All the games. Games people play now.
Do you think that we could play another game?
You play silly games like that.
KBOO, Portland, Oregon, bridging the gap between prisons, prisoners, and the community. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from the People's Urban Art Fest, empowering historically underrepresented arts with a focus on social justice. This event is on September 21st at Riverfront Park in Salem and will feature live music, local artists, vendors, and community resources. More info on Facebook at LUS Salem and Instagram at LUS Youth.
You're listening to KBO Radio, Voices of Vision show with Pallavi and Charles Chambry.
On Voices of Vision show, we spotlight authentic stories and voices making a difference in the community. We aim to inspire, inform, and connect. Voices of Vision is a storytelling platform that amplifies the authentic voices shaping our local communities here in Oregon. Each episode will spotlight entrepreneurs, creatives, changemakers, thought leaders who work inspires, informs, and drives meaningful work. Through candid conversations and real stories, we'll explore themes of purpose, resilience, innovation, equity, and cultural identity. Whether you're a visionary in the making or someone looking to stay connected to community, drive change, Voices of Vision is here, where passion meets purpose on air. I'm your host, Pallavi Pandey. I'm a small business owner and a mompreneur of a sustainable tableware brand called Detox, where we make classy, compostable, single-use tableware like your plates, bowls, spoons, straws, charcuterie boards for events, for consumers and businesses.
And I'm international speaker, radio and TV host, adjunct professor, writer, entrepreneur, and my new title is that I'm famous. Mm-hmm. So extra famous now, becoming more famous now. I don't know if I told you, I do the quiz trivia night. So I'm a quiz master.
Ooh.
So yeah.
We need to add that on the script as well, yeah, officially.
That'll be next time.
Yes. On our show today, our guest is Bethany Palacios, who is Miss Black Oregon United States 2025. Mm-hmm. Now, Bethany Hope Palacios is Miss Black Oregon and the founder of FLY, First Love Yourself, a platform dedicated to empowering women and youth, especially those who've experienced adoption or foster care. Born in Liberia and raised in Oregon, Bethany shares her story to show that your past doesn't define your future. She's a passionate advocate and is now preparing to head to nationals, ready to win Miss Black USA. Her mission? To help every child know that they are loved and they are worthy.
Okay, great. So how's it going?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. It was a great introduction.
Yeah. I mean, that's really impressive.
Yes, that's powerful.
And you're an impressive person. So when was the last time we saw each other?
We did a photo shoot a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Charles and I did a photo shoot, and it was really great. The Rose Garden downtown.
Yeah, we went to the waterfront.
And then...
International Park, Rose Park.
And then we just did some photos downtown.
You did an amazing job, too. I was really impressed with your skill sets.
Thank you. I was very impressed with the photos. Yeah. Oh, and then we also did photos at the Good in the Hood Parade.
That's right. Yeah, I had Andre go out there. Andre's my photographer. And shout out to Andre. Andre does a great job, which we all agree.
Yes.
He's just here in the office. He's not here. We got our new person on the job. D's here in the back.
Yay, D. Wave to our audience.
But yeah, Andre was on that thing. He's on a different assignment. He's doing a fashion show as we speak, which is a part of Interviews with Charles Chambry nonprofit. So yeah. But yeah, it's excited to see you again. And how's everything going? How's your week?
My week has been busy. I have 10 days until I leave for nationals. So I've been prepping and preparing, resting, and just making sure that I'm confident before I go.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we met at the Quinceañera?
Yeah, last February.
Yeah.
We passed each other, but then we didn't really actually meet until recently.
Okay. Yeah. Palabi, have you gone to any pageants before?
No, I have not. Absolutely not. Okay. This is all new, and I'm excited to
this
hear
it. First time seeing a queen up close like this?
A real queen.
With
a crown.
Yes.
Amazing crown.
I better take pictures with her today.
Yes.
So that when I win
in 10
then
days,
yes. Say,
I'll be famous.
Yes. You know Miss Black USA.
Yes. Yes.
Well, tell us about your campaign and just kind of go through that. What is your actual title and what are you running on? What's your main theme?
So the pageant I'm in is Miss Black USA, and I'm in the category of the Ms, which is 27 and older. So I'm competing with women across the U.S.
27 and older?
Yes.
What?
So women
who are...
You
look like a kid.
I do.
You look like you're in late teens, early 20s.
Yeah, I still get carded.
This is on video, so we can,
go to my Instagram, Miss Black Oregon USA, and you can see my whole journey as when I got crowned to events and then me preparing. And then this next week, I'll be posting a lot of photos of what I'm be wearing and then sponsorships and stuff like that. So you can see I'm very, very candid and open about my whole journey. But yeah, so I'm competing with women who are also Black and are in my same category, 27 and older, and are representing their state. We all have our own mission statement. We're all going for the crown, and we are being judged on our evening gown, our talent, and our just our etiquette and, how we respond to world problems. So we'll be asked questions on the stage, and then we get to really reveal who we are throughout the week.
I'm
really excited
beauty
to represent
brains.
Oregon. Yes, mm-hmm. Beauty and brave. I'm so excited to represent Oregon. We haven't had a queen at my level in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big step for us. And I'm the only one representing Oregon going to nationals of all three categories.
Wow, more power to you.
Good.
30
good.
Years.
That's a long time, 1994 when I was born. So it's kind of like I feel like I'm a prophecy.
Mm-hmm. You are meant to do this.
I was meant to do this.
Okay.
Cool. What is your mission, though? Do you have, all queens have their initiatives and things that they're trying to get out, the message they're trying to get out, and what's yours?
My mission is that your past doesn't define your future, that at any age, at any time, regardless of your skin color, what you've been through, you can achieve big and great things, and you can chase your dreams, but also you have a purpose of being here, so believe in yourself. And I love the fact that I'm older. So people think I'm younger, but when I tell them I'm 31 and I'm out here doing a beauty pageant, it inspires. Even when I go to the high schools or the elementary schools, they're like, you're 31. It's like, yes. Mm. And you can do this when you're 14, 15, but I'm 31 and I'm having the courage to represent young Black girls. And I hope I do well. And I think it inspires myself to do it, but I know it inspires young girls who don't see Black queens, especially in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Where are you from anyway?
I was born in Monrovia, Liberia, West Africa in 1994.
You from there too?
Yes. You're a Liberian? We have two Liberians. When were you? Are you adopted or?
No, I was born.
Your family moved out here? Oh, you born
out
here?
I came here when I was after the war.
I moved here during the war. What the heck? What year?
2000.
Okay. They're so, I love meeting Liberians. And this is the best part of being a queen, because I go and I share my story and I meet other Africans or Liberians or like, I, you know, my family was separated or I moved here because of the war. It affected Africa, West Africa. And I mean, we wouldn't be here without it. So, and I'm representing starting over first generation immigrants.
That's powerful. To our audience here, we've got two people from Liberia and they just met today.
Just right here on air.
Who's on the camera here doing the photographing, and Bethany, who's the guest here today on the mic. Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. You're listening to KBO Radio, Voices of Vision, with your hosts Pallavi and Charles Chambry.
On Voices of Vision show, we spotlight authentic stories and voices making a difference in the community, like what you just heard here. Here at KBOO, we find all the information about this episode at kboo.com FM. Something at the top of the show.
Now we go to our fireside chats. We'll go a little bit deeper with Pallavi to discover who our queen is, a little bit further, a little bit deeper. Go ahead, Pallavi.
Thank you, Charles. So Charles and Bethany already know each other, right? Mm-hmm. You've known each other outside of this recording, and I'm meeting you for the first time. So I'm going to be throwing some fireside fun conversation questions, and we can relax on a chair and enjoy, and I hope our audience
relax
can enjoy
on a chair.
These questions. Yeah, relax on a chair.
I'm relax.
Yeah, there you go. Sit back, relax. There should be a massage around this,
no,
right?
No, for real. Queen treatment.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, Bethany. So my first question. What inspired you to participate in the Miss Black USA pageant? And what does holding the title of Miss Black Oregon 2025 mean to you personally and for your community?
What inspired me was the lack of representation. Hmm. So I see women watching Miss Universe and watching all these other national pageants as a young girl, or even just in general, you don't see representation a lot of Black queens from America, mm-hmm. right? And so when I saw the advertisement for Miss Black USA, it seemed kind of, you know, a what if. And so when I sent in my application and I got the call back, it, you know, interviewing, I felt like it was natural. Mm. I've never done a pageant before. This is my first time really pouring into myself, and I'm working hard, guys. I'm in classes. I'm learning how to walk in heels on treadmills. Like, I'm doing the work because I believe in myself, but also there's more than that in a pageant. It's the story behind it. And I believe I have a story that's impactful and that young Black girls can relate to. And then also, why not be the first? If no one else wants to do it, I'll do it. And what was your second question?
It was just that, what does it mean for you and your community?
I think for my community, I grew up in McMinnville, Oregon. And I was the only Black girl in my school until I got to middle school. So for me, it's beating the odds and saying, hey, even though I didn't have the representation and I didn't know how to act as a queen, I'm still a queen, and I'm going to show other Black girls who I know are watching, because I think we're all being watched, right?
Yes.
Who I know who are watching, that this can be your story, and doesn't matter how old you are or how dark you are or who's around you, you can still become a queen and you can still represent a community. Though you don't see it, I know that they exist.
Yeah, and I love that you said representation matters, and you're going to run with your heart, with that passion and that mission behind that. What if, and you don't care that there was nobody, and you're going to be that first, and you're going to make sure you're not the last.
Right. And even I tell myself, like, even if I don't win, which I hope I do, the queen behind me could win, and my story inspired her to run.
Yes.
So I want the crown to belong to Oregon eventually. I want to have, maybe I'm the first, and then 10 years from now, a girl wins. But how do they start unless somebody does it, right?
Yeah, I love that role model.
Just being the person to be brave enough to say, I'm going to try.
Very nice. Trying is important. Doing is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Love that. All right. Now, second question.
Pallavi, you should do something like that.
You should. You should do Miss America. I was looking at you, gorgeous.
Oh, only if I had the time. I love that what you said. And I'm 41.
You can
so
do
if you started
it.
At 31, I can totally start at 41.
You can.
But I think I will wait until I turn 51 because I'll have all the time
51.
In the world.
Yeah.
When you retire?
Yeah. It's like, is there an eligibility for age?
Yes.
Oh, damn. Is
it depends
like
on which pageant.
Depends on which pageant. Miss America, which, are you married?
I am married.
Married women could do Miss America. There's a Mrs. America.
There you go.
And your brand, which I'm going to definitely partner with you, you could use your brand as your platform because you're doing big things.
Yes.
And you matter and your presentation matters. So
I love that. Thank you for that golden nugget. I'll keep that. I'll remember that when I turn 51. I'm going to be applying and I'm going to look for that application. Yes. This is America.
And I'll be your coach.
There we go. See, you've got a bigger mission.
I'll remember this recording when you turn 50, your 51st birthday.
I'll remind her.
I'll send her to you the application and Miss America.
I'll remind her.
There you go. Yeah. Accountability partner right there.
It'll be the anniversary of this show, too. This is great. Go ahead, Paladin.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a good moment. Oh, my God. That will go down in history, right?
Yeah.
51. Okay. So pageantry.
Wait, you just started modeling, though. She just did her second. You did your second.
I'm so proud. What are you modeling?
So I did a couple of shows where Charles was emceeing. Uh-huh. One of them was the African fashion show.
Yes.
Well, no, it was the...
And then the other one was...
The Christmas fashion
yes,
show.
Yes, the Portland Christmas fashion
show. I saw that show. One. Yeah,
yeah. So I modeled Instagram. There and I wore 5 dresses. My
wow.
All right. Let's get to the questions. Yes. Okay. We have our star
I
here.
I do want to hear about this later.
Yes.
All right. Second question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Pageantry often comes with stereotypes. Mm-hmm. Now, how are you using this platform to challenge misconceptions and highlight important issues you care about?
I love it because you're put on a platform, you're put on in a spotlight, and you're able to, by your actions and by your... I think it's important to highlight the queen because people can really see your... what you believe in and how you support other people and other communities, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So showing up to events and how relationship focused you are.
Mm-hmm.
So for an example, I've always been really connected in the community. So when I signed up for Miss Oregon USA, I already had the relationships. And so people could support me because they knew it was natural for who I am, my identity. So I think that's important when you're looking to be in the spotlight as a queen. And people need to realize that, yes, it comes with... I had to kind of learn the beauty side of it because it's twofold.
Mm-hmm.
I love beauty, but there's a pageant beauty that I had to learn. Mm-hmm. But also, I didn't always see myself as a queen, as beautiful, because I didn't grow up around women that looked like me, or I wasn't taught how to do my makeup. And I share on my Instagram a lot my stories of growing up and not having representation. I recently just shared that I went to YouTube to find how to do my makeup. I went to YouTube to find how to do my hair and what's normal, what's not normal. Even story times, I would find Black creators who would talk about their life, and then I related to them. Because the things I would share to my friends or my family, they couldn't give me advice on because they didn't relate to.
Mm.
So I think it's your life experiences and like not being ashamed and afraid of looking for the answer, but also just because you don't relate to the people around you doesn't mean that you're spotlight and that other people can relate to you.
Yeah.
I know that's a kind of long-winded question, but...
My takeaway here is use YouTube, use Instagram, and use it for your voice, raising that up, that what you're doing, showing it to the world.
And also using what you already know, and that's who you are.
Yeah.
Not just making something up in the moment, like, oh, I'll just do this, but what have I actually been pouring into? Who has actually been there for me?
So I'm hearing purpose.
Purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that. Okay. Your social media reflects positivity. You just said you go on YouTube, you go on Instagram, you do these things positively. It reflects empowerment and authenticity. Like you said, I go there and talk about who I am and I want to inspire people. So how do you stay grounded and mentally balanced while navigating the spotlight?
I think it's volunteering and being around people who need you. Mm-hmm. So I mentor with young Black girls in the community with HALA schools, and hanging out with the young, with my mentees, it really grounds me of like, okay, all this pageantry is important, but like at the end of the day, she's the one who having these small conversations, hanging out, and just being in relationships with young girls that aren't, they don't really care about the pageantry. They just care about you showing up and being there with them and saying you're going to be there when you say you're going to be there, doing things with them that they want to do and just showing them new experiences. That's what grounds me of it's not a really about the glitz and the glam, because at the end of the day, who cares about the young girls? They love it, but like, is that, it's a journey. They'll get there, but you got to build, you got to build that relationship with them for them to see that it's real.
Yeah, it's like going back to the roots and then nurturing the roots of the smile in a journey.
That's good. I didn't know you had mentees.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
How many are around?
I only have two.
Two? Okay.
Yeah. So my goal is to stay with them until they graduate. So I committed to, like, they're 8 years old. And I once a week I try to do either ice cream, or I try to stay away from the school because I know in that generation it's already annoying. Like, I'm not there to be their school mentee. They have one. I'm their lifestyle mentee. Like, how can I, like, what, this last Christmas I took one of my mentees to a movie. I think it was Moana 2.
I thought you were gonna say Barbie.
No, I wish yeah, Barbie. Moana 2. And we get there and she goes,
wait, did you like that movie, Barbie?
You didn't like Barbie.
No, I didn't like Barbie either. I didn't, anyway, like Barbie. Go ahead, I don't want to cut you off.
We're gonna have a fight. No, you just hear punching. That's gay. No, and she, we get there, we're sitting down and she goes, I've never been to a movie before.
Oh.
And I, my heart dropped because I'm sitting here like, oh, like, it's just a movie. This moment was so big for her. And what, just Moana too, like, that was nothing for me. And I grew up going to movies. And I, it made me think, as much as I, like, said, woe was me as a child, I still went to movies. I still went on vacation. I went to all these things. And there's girls in my neighborhoods where at 8 years old, this is their first time going to a movie theater.
I can only imagine.
And I that made me, I have to keep doing this. I have to commit to them. And how little is that movie? So, yeah.
You're listening to Voices of Vision with Pallavi and Charles Chambry.
All right. We are right in the middle of our program. And we have three other questions. Are you ready for the fourth one?
Yes.
All right. As a woman of color in pageantry and community leadership, you just talked so much about the leadership which you show in your style as a pageant queen, and you're making an impact in these livelihoods of these little young girls who've never, for example, gone to movie theater and done so much. So what I'm going to ask you is that, what unique challenges and opportunities have you experienced with them? I know you already touched base on like, these girls have never been to movies. So now I want to know much deeper that, how does it work with, like, do you have to take permission from parents?
Yeah.
When you do such kind of mentorship, you're taking them from movies, you're storing up some things in their lives they've never done and been and seen. So how does
that... It's a hard balance because you have to learn, lives are messy. So I'm over here like, I mean, I'm a single woman, so it's like, I text her like, hey, where are you? Like, let's go hang out. She has school and summer camp and she has parents and they have lives. So it's like, making time, it's hard to make time with our busy lives, but also realizing that that's part of it, is life isn't going to be as easy to, I try to keep a consistent schedule with them, but it's been hard. I've been learning it's been hard because when it comes to young, in this that generation, young girls, working with the parents, working with the school, working. I have to get a permission. I have to set it up in advance. Sometimes they cancel. This happens, that happens, but not giving up on it. And that's the part where I'm like, okay, like, I'm frustrated that I've been calling you, you're not answering, your phone's turned off, your parents are busy, or, you know, I have to pick you up at your dad's house.
Wait, that sounds like some people I know, some adults I know.
Yes. Yes. And so it's like, I, you know, because they're not my child, but it feels like my child. It's like, I just want to spend time with you. And life is hard to make time for each other, but that's the beauty of it, is where I'm still going to find time in my day. And I live in Beaverton, and they live in Portland, so...
The commute. Yeah, it sounds
like... And they always want me to spend money on them, too. So it's that struggle, too. It's like, listen, I only have $20 to spend on you. Yes. We're not going to go movies, ice cream, dinner, and then I take you home, and your parents are like,
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, are you taking more mentees?
No, I can't. Well, okay. I want to also make sure that I'm being genuine with my time.
Yeah.
Like, the more you take on, are you really pouring into their lives?
You don't want the burnout.
Right. But even, like, are you even having time to, like, genuinely grow with them? Because I feel like I'm growing when I'm hanging out with them. Because I don't have kids, but being around kids, they teach you a lot about yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she'll say things, my youngest one, she'll say things where I'm like, why are you late? And I'm like, oh, my bad. You're right. Why am I late?
Yeah.
I said I would be here and I'm not there on time.
Yeah, like, no filter.
You're the
no,
last kid. Like, you're the last kid to get picked up. I shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
But, you know, learning to just, it builds my character. Mm. And also, like, saying no, learning to have boundaries. Like, I love you, and I want to, let's go to the park.
Great.
We don't have to go spend money. There's ways to have fun that doesn't involve me going broke.
I love that. Setting up expectations, yet finding opportunities and having the grit to constantly figure out 10 people's calendars, whether it's parents, whether it's school, whether it's teachers and the kid. So I hope, just thinking about it, I'm getting exhausted. I don't know about you, Charles.
Well, you got two kids too, so you can definitely identify with two daughters. What's the ages again?
13 and 11.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And I got one daughter, so yeah, it makes sense.
How old is she?
She's 14 now, so going on 20-something.
Oh, I was going to say 15.
Yeah,
okay. It's just scheduling on their calendar.
It's a lot. Right? Like, I don't have kids, but I feel like, man, I call those girls my kids.
Yeah. No, because you made a good point that you said you're growing and you're learning from them. It teaches you about yourself, and we could definitely relate to that as parents. So.
Yeah. It's always a learning opportunity for us as parents, so I'm glad you get to get those opportunities.
Well, I just love the fact that, like, I get to choose every day that, you know what, they're right. Mm-hmm. I'm not always right. Just because I'm the adult doesn't mean I'm always right. But also, what can I learn from them? Because I feel like they're constantly being told what to do and how to do it, and I'm not there. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to be an example. And they text me. I was on... I was in the Juneteenth parade, and one of my mentees texted me. She goes, I saw you on TV. Aww. And I was like, you were watching? She's like, yeah, me and my family watch. That meant the world to me. So I'm like, oh, you're watching me. I forget that you are watching me. So how inspiring that is, that things that I'm just, you know, doing Miss Buck Oregon, but they care.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You already shared a moment, because my next question was actually to ask you an experience or moment during your journey that has been specifically powerful and transformative for you.
With Miss Buck Oregon?
Yeah.
I would say going to the school. So I work with HALA. I don't know if you guys know who HALA is. It's a Black, Brown, Indigenous school with Black, Brown, Indigenous teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So they teach education through the eyes of being Black, Brown, Indigenous. So they tell the real, I hate to say the real, but the real story of Black history.
Mm-hmm.
And if you grew up with Black teachers, what they would teach you, not being told by the Western nice way, right? And they bring in real examples. So they had me come in early on in my pageantry, and I did a book reading, but I also was able just to say, hey, like, and I brought the other queens with me. I'm your Miss Black Oregon, and I just believe in I believe in you guys. And it was very simple. Like, it was an after-school event, and parents came. 400 people showed up, by the way, and it's the first time they've ever done it. And I just gave a little speech or whatever, but the kids, like, just being there, and them just seeing, like, a queen. And I know that feels, like, great to say, oh, I was a queen, but, like, just to see their faces and can we get a picture with you? Or, hey, like, you know, how I want to do Miss Black Oregon one day. And just being in that
moment
of just like, they've never seen this. I've never seen this, but like, I wish I was in their shoes.
Yeah, I love that.
Wish someone would have came to my school, a Black queen would have come to my school and said, like, you know, you could do this one day. And, you know, there's a scholarship. It's the Miss category is a full ride scholarship. So I really encourage girls to do it, because education is really important. And I think that's something my race needs to push.
Mm-hmm.
Girls going to school. But also, it pushes confidence.
Yes.
Even 30, like, I've grown a lot. I've had to, like, I've always felt like I was outgoing and able to speak in front of crowds, but really being able to share my story.
Mm.
A lot of people asking, why are you doing this? And just sharing my things that I don't like to, you know, it's people know I'm adopted, but to really hear it from my mouth, like, yes, like, this was my conditions, and like, pushing through, that's very
powerful.
It opens up. Like, it's very emotional for me.
Yeah.
But then people, not even Black people, saying, wow, like, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. People not only fall in love with you, they fall in love with your story. Your why. Why are you doing something mm-hmm. like that? So I love that.
And it's bigger than just the Black community. I love to say I'm Miss Black Oregon, but I'm also, I'm representing adoptees. Because mm-hmm. we're all, not all, but there's a big population of kids who are in foster care, adoptees, or just their the beginning of their life started out yeah. hopeless.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought that was your main message, though, right? About mm-hmm. Adoption and the process mm-hmm. and did you want to share more about that?
Yeah. No, I think that growing up, I would really bond with kids that went through, because I grew up saying, oh, these are my, this is my family, but these are my, like my, they don't look like me. And the hardest part about being a kid is having like a birthday party and kids saying like, why are your parents white? Mm-hmm. Like I hated that. Mm-hmm. And having to explain, because that's me having to explain it in a way that wasn't in my control. Mm-hmm. Not that it was a bad thing, but just like, oh, I'm adopted, like sad. But like now I'm using it as an empowerment, like, wow, like I was adopted and now look what I got to do with my life being adopted. And that's where I'm taking my power back and sharing to any race. It doesn't matter where you start. There are opportunities for us to change our future. Mm-hmm. And there's people who have been through hard things just like you. I mean, Liberia. Fleeing a country, starvation, war, rape, children, soldiers, like that could have been our outcome. Mm-hmm. And look where we are now.
Yeah. So it sounds like your adoption was a good experience.
Very
you went
good.
Into a good home. Mm-hmm. They were the catalyzers in making who you are today. Yeah. So everything worked very well.
Está sintonizando KBOO Portland, tu radio comunitaria a través del 90.7 FM KBOO Portland y en línea a través de kboo.fm.
Bienvenidos